There are many reasons for misdirected communication in organization. One reason is the desire to hide basic insecurity. We may put someone else down because we think that this will make us look better, or we may put a second party in a bad light or shift blame from ourselves to someone else, leaving that person with no opportunity to respond. We may, in fact, have little interest in accuracy, fairness, or reconciliation. Without thinking of the consequences, we just ventilate our feelings, dumping them on the wrong people, in order to elevate our own weak identities. Another common reason for misdirected communication is personal hurt. Some people take responsibility for the hurt on themselves and become depressed. They blame themselves, they lower their own self-esteem. Others dump their hurt on uninvolved third parties. They will tell almost anyone they meet about their hurt and about the person who inflicted this hurt upon them. Hurt and its resulting anger often get buried and end up being vented on people who can do little to resolve the problem. While venting feelings provides temporary emotional relief, it does nothing to bring about reconciliation, and often the venting itself is hurtful to others. While we're dealing with our own insecurities or inflicted hurt, both parties should get together to discuss the problem and to discuss its causes. Now, it's not good to ignore hurt. It is important to find creative and constructive ways to deal with hurt. Some people vent their anger through exercise, running, handball, aerobics. Some people kick the dog when they get home or take it out on the family. Others involve themselves in harmful gossip. Some try to undermine their coworkers. Releasing pent-up frustration through vigorous physical exercise is certainly an effective way of venting pent-up anger without harming anyone. It does not blow up at the person who hurt us or the next person we happen to meet. That too often aggravates the problem, causes further alienation. Resolving situations and when we think we've been wronged by others. The first step is to discuss the grievance directly with the person who committed the wrong. If it can be resolved in the conversation, we have restored that relationship. And that is the goal of talking about the wrong, a restored relationship. If that does not work, take along one or two other people. They can assist with the communication, and they can also bring a helpful objectivity to the situation. Often, third parties like these can think of solutions that the participants in the conflict cannot see because there's just so much involved. They can help the disagreeing parties to actually hear, to listen, to understand. And what is communication all about? It's about understanding each other. The third step is to report the incident to the authorities. In the corporate world, this, of course, would include supervisors. Again, the objective is to use those resources to find a good solution. Increasing the ability to properly resolve conflicts and to constructively direct anger is essential if healthy relationships are to prevail in business. It takes hard work, takes much practice to overcome bad habits, but it is possible to learn better patterns for our use. And the rewards for doing so are many. We are often taught by experience that it's risky to be honest. Honesty is sometimes rewarded by rejection, sometimes even by retaliation. Many of us have been taught by supervisors, executives, parents, or perhaps even pastors to be so tactful or polite that we often become dishonest. The commonly used expression, "Well, he's honest to a fault," shows that contradiction. how can one find fault with honesty? The expression implies that too much truth is risky because it can hurt us and it can hurt others. Employees sometimes find that their supervisors respond better if they tell them what they want to hear rather than the straightforward truth. Politicians would certainly not get elected if they told us the truth about some of the difficult problems the country faces or even about their own policies. Strong leaders frequently employ weak subordinates because they do not want to hear disagreement. They hide behind the facade of agreement because of an insecure personality. Or they may be so full of pride that they cannot accept the ideas of others. Salespeople often bend the truth in conversations with customers. They may tell the customer what they think the customer wants to hear rather than what is actually correct. So easy to slip in false information about competitors to complete a sale or to feign ignorance about product shortcomings. One appliance salesman would often try to convince a potential customer that he was offering a good deal by saying something like, "Last week I sold 4 of these refrigerators." The employees knew he had sold none. Now that may look like a harmless exaggeration, but the employees often discussed among themselves whether or not they could trust anything this salesperson said. They could never be sure he was telling the truth. We should tell the truth simply, correctly, without pretense. It has been said that honesty is the best policy, when in reality, honesty is the only policy. The truth, though, must be always handled to straightforward comments. Truth can be used cruelly. Truth can be used tactlessly. Truth can be used rudely rather than in a constructive way. In corporate life, we should take the need for complete honesty seriously, but we must simultaneously communicate concern for those who are going to be affected by the message. A regular customer will be disappointed if we suggest that his first choice may not be the best match for his needs. And any employee will be depressed when we point to him the inadequacy of his performance and that's hindering his promotion. We must respond to these feelings, and we must work with them. Wisdom is found in knowing when to speak and when to be silent. Charles A. Tidwell wrote, "There is probably no skill which touches more areas of leadership more vitally than the skill of communicating. And there's probably no skill in which the total person and his or her behavior is more involved in performance. Communication is truly the exchange of meanings from person to person. The body, the dress, the grooming, the expressions, the total appearance, the gestures, the symbols, the words, written or spoken or otherwise communicated, everything about a person has some part in the communicating realm. No administrative leader can reach his or her optimum and not be an effective communicator." There are some troublesome paradoxes related to communication. For example, with more available techniques, media, hardware, software, and other communicative devices than in previous history of the world, there seems to be less genuine understanding among persons than ever. Communicating is indispensable in every functional area of administration. Clarifying the purpose, determining the objectives, designing organization, administering human, physical, and financial resources, and certainly in providing administrative controls. It is vitally related to all these skills and more. Planning, initiating, organizing, developing, directing, motivating, supervising, performing, influencing, controlling, evaluating, and representing. Administrative leaders who wish to be effective must continue to grow in their skill of communicating. We have tried to give basically an introduction to this particular course. And why this whole aspect of managerial and administrative communication is so vitally important. This brings us to the end of number one.